I suspect Baptists. What does syncretistic mean? A syncretistic blend of Catholic teaching. Sort of. Let's get more accurate about it. Syncretism means to take two things and put them together to make one. That's what it means. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That is the formula for communist revolution. You set up two classes, bring them into a class struggle. After the war is over and the dust clears, you've got a pure communist state. Teaching of Marx. Where did he get it? From watching Catholics and Protestants. Syncretistic blend of Catholic teaching with spiritism, animism, voodoo, and idolatry. What is that stuff? What is spiritism? Animism, voodoo, and idolatry. Yeah, but what kinds of religions? What is a definition? What is a spiritist? Now you can say Manitou Springs, because that's a lot closer to the truth. Yeah, New Age. All New Age encompasses all of this stuff. What's voodoo? It's creepy, all right. It's all Babylonian mystery religion. So I was going to warn Sarah, if you see your dad sticking pins in your wolf, beware. She's back there saying, what's he talking about? Okay. Let's go to the next logical step. What is Arminianism? You hear us talk about Arminianism all the time. What is it? It's a further refinement of what came from Mystery Babylon through Arius of Alexandria, through Origen, passed into the New Testament church through those streams, later amplified by Palladius, picked up by the Catholic Church at the Council of Trent, and later passed on into the mainstream of Christianity. Arminianism. It's named after a person, and I'm up here on the first bullet now. Jacob Arminius. He lived from 1560 to 1609. The interesting thing about Arminius is that he was originally Dutch Reformed. Have you ever heard of the Dutch Reformed Church? Sure. I'm sure you have. Well, the Dutch Reformed Church started a long time ago. And Arminius was a part of it, and he was a student of Calvin. Calvin died. The Calvinists got together and decided what we need to do is set down the distillation of Calvin's doctrine, which we'll meet later in the 5 points of Calvinism. Arminius looked at that, and he was the guy that was selected because he was the most dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist at the time, and so he was tasked with the idea of writing a position paper that would tell the world what we Calvinists think concerning the Scriptures. Well, he got right to work as an industrious fellow, and immediately he started scratching his head when he started comparing Calvin's teaching with the Scriptures. He said, wait a minute. If I'm going to defend Calvin's doctrines from the Scriptures, I've got a problem. Because a lot of the things that Calvin taught that I always thought were right are not backed up by Scripture. In fact, the Scripture denies some of Calvin's teachings. What am I going to do? Well, he was an honest man. At great personal cost to himself, he came out with these 5 points of Arminianism, and man, the Calvinists just exploded over this. They kicked him out. He was banned from the Netherlands, and they tried to burn him at the stake. And you may not understand this, but John Calvin burnt people just like us at the stake, just like the Pope did. And that's why, to me, I can't stand Calvinists. Even to this day, I can't take them. I'd rather deal with an Arminian. The Arminian error was the error that you find in the church at Corinth. At least you could get along with them. You couldn't get along with the Galatians. And by the way, when you see how the Apostle Paul talks about it, he holds out tremendous hope for the Corinthians, doesn't he? Wrote them two letters. Pointed out all the good things that they'd done. The bad too, to be sure. But when he writes to the Galatians, which is the Calvinist error, there's not one good thing. These are not good people. And so Arminius, at great personal risk to himself, he realized that a lot of Calvin's doctrines were indefensible. But, oh man, I don't know what to say, because I don't want to cuss. Rather than Arminius going back to the Scripture and saying, okay, guys, here is why Calvin's doctrines are not defensible. This is what the Scripture says about it. He's got to go way beyond, and he crosses over the center line of the road and falls into the ditch on the other side and overreacts to Calvin's 5 points. And instead of getting back with the Scriptures, he goes back to humanistic philosophy, starts reading up on what Pelagius taught, and starts using his humanistic material to refute Calvin's humanistic material. Now, how does the church benefit from that? But that's exactly what happened, and that's what I really want for you to understand. The systems of Calvinism and Arminianism are both man-made humanistic systems, and neither one of them squares with the truth of the Scripture. Now, that might be a hard saying, but if you can see that, you're not going to be deceived, because almost all of the denominations and almost all ranks of Baptists fall into one of these two camps. Most Baptist churches are either Arminian or Calvinist. And that's a problem. They've invaded us. And it's time for we fundamental Baptistic believers to say, get out of our churches. Amen? Yeah, well, you should be saying amen. This stuff is serious. It may not look like it's serious, but what you believe will affect how your feelings are, whether or not you have peace. And either of these two systems will rob you of the peace that passes understanding. Because it tries to lay on you something that you can't do. You can't keep the law, and you can't be holy, and you can't be Arminian holiness, and you can't be Calvinistic either without having affect your spiritual life. And that's the truth. That's why we're doing this. Okay, second bullet. Rather than return to the Scriptures to refute Calvin and formulate his new doctrinal stance, he instead returns to the world and its philosophies, Genesis 3:5. It's always been this way, folks. That's why you can't trust anything that men do. Even their best ideas are corrupt. So instead of going back to the Scriptures, he goes back to Pelagius, and of course Pelagius got it from Origen. Origen got it from Arius. Arius got it from the Gnostics, and the Gnostics got it from Mystery Babylon. It's not Scripture, and it never was. It never was. So he overreacts to what Calvin does, and he brings out these 5 points of Arminianism. Now, I just have a couple of minutes left here, but I'll start with the first one, okay? First of all, Calvinism says you don't have a free will. Now, there's a problem with that. Somebody tell me what the problem is with saying you'd have no freedom of will whatsoever. What does that do to the plan of salvation? Yeah, but how? I know it does, but how? That's where the Calvinists run into problems. If man has no will whatsoever, not free will, but the Calvinists say that he has no will. He's totally depraved and he is dead in trespass and sin. What does this do to the plan of salvation? Somebody tell me what my favorite verse is when I preach the gospel. Whosoever will may come. It doesn't say whosoever has free will may come, does it? It says whosoever will may come. What does that tell you about human responsibility? Man does have some freedom of will, but he does not have unlimited freedom of will. God leaves a range of choices that a human being can make to either accept or reject Him, doesn't He? He sure does. And if you take that out of the picture and say that man has no will whatsoever, then what happens to the scripture that says whosoever will may come? It throws it out that you have, you're left with no way to explain it. And that's what Arminius ran into. He listens to Calvin's preaching. He reads Calvin's doctrines. And the first tenet of Calvin's faith is man is totally depraved and has absolutely no free will. He's dead in trespass and sin, which the scripture also says. He misinterprets what the scripture says, that a man's dead in trespass and sin. Means that he's separated from God in his trespass and sin, because death doesn't mean that he has no freedom of will. It means that he's separated from God. Death in the scripture means separation. The Calvinists misinterpret that. So then, who decides who gets saved and who goes to hell if man has no free will? Can you see Arminius sitting in his office and scratching his head and saying, wait a minute. Something is wrong with this. I always believed it all my life. And now I've been tasked with finding out what the truth is, and I always believed what Uncle John taught. But now I look at the scripture and say, there's some scriptures in here that directly contradict what he's teaching. What am I going to do? What happens? If man has no responsibility, then who determines who gets saved and who gets lost? God does. Can you see why some people say, wait a minute. If God's so good, why does He send some people to hell? Where do people ever get that thought into their heads? Have you ever heard that when you're talking to somebody about the Lord? Oh, your God, I don't want anything to do with your God. Your God sends people to hell. How are you going to answer that? And where did they get that argument in the first place? Some foolish Calvinist gave them that idea. They have absolutely nothing to do about it. It was settled before the worlds ever began whether they were going to be one of the elect or not. And God did it by pure caprice. And what you think about it has nothing to do. You might want with all your heart to get saved, but if you're not one of the elect, you might as well just forget it because your ticket's been bought and paid for. And it's written on asbestos. What's wrong with that? Well, it's... Amen. It's a lie! Can you see how this has influenced people? Those Calvinist doctrines, people don't even know that they're spouting Calvinist doctrine when they say that, but they are. And what's your answer? Yeah. Whosoever will may come. Arminius had a real problem with that. But he went clear. He veered across the road and went in the ditch on the other side. Went from one humanistic philosophy to another. I can get saved anytime I want to. Well, if you can get saved anytime you want to, could you get lost anytime you want to? Yeah, the smiley face that goes this way, I lost it. What would that do to your Christian life? These are dangerous, pernicious doctrines that'll steal away from your peace and joy in Jesus Christ. We're not just doing this to make noise and fill up Sunday nights. This is stuff that's important to you. If you're a believer, you don't want to let this stuff into your life, because if you do, it'll steal your peace away and your joy. You don't want that. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, I pray that You'd open our minds to be able to receive what You say in Your Word. And Lord, not to listen to what so many preachers say and so many Christians. Lord, even though they'd be well-meaning, Lord, sometimes they tell us things that come out of humanistic philosophies. And those things would steal away our peace. As we heard in questions and answers tonight, somebody telling one of your dear saints that because of sin in their life,
God is sending judgment. Oh Lord, how that steals away that special place that You have for us. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd open our hearts now to receive Your Word, and that Your Word would push out all of the things that we have heard and things that we may have believed all of our lives, and replace those with what You say. And by comparing Scripture with Scripture, arrive at the truth of knowing who and what we are in You, and understanding that we're more than conquerors through You that loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.